are starting our series, God Never Said That, week number one. Too much to handle. That's the heading of the preach. Before we start, as an act of faith, I want to invite you to open your hands. Think about every burden that you've got, the things that are weighing you down. And just mentally place them on your hands as a sign of surrender. And we're just going to trust and pray that those things are released from you. So, Father, we just pray that as we leave here today, we are going to leave with a greater dependence on you and less self-sufficiency. That we would rely on you and not try and handle everything. In this moment, we hand over those things that we are trying to handle that are too big for us. We release them. Holy Spirit, I pray that there would be a transference even now. There would be a peace in the release. Even now in Jesus' name, that people's shoulders are going to feel lighter. They're going to breathe to full capacity where they've been having short, shallow breaths. There's going to be a release as we surrender these things to you in Jesus' name. Into your capable hands. Amen. 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 Ooh, now we feel lighter. Now we can listen better. Have you ever heard a well-meaning, kind person who's really just trying to help say to you, God will never give you more than you can handle? Maybe you've said it yourself. To make someone feel better, as you've watched them kind of buckling under life circumstances. It's meant to encourage, but what happens is it lands sideways. It's heavy and it's confusing, because if it was really true, then why on earth do we feel like we are buckling under life circumstances and not being able to bear up under everything and handle it? So you feel like you're not handling, but you've just heard God will never give you more than you can handle. So some of you might have been here at the tail end of last year, one of the preachers I shared. So my dad ended up in hospital. Every afternoon, most afternoons, I was going to the beachfront, fetching my mom, taking her up to Entebbeni, there for visiting hours, back to her home on the beachfront, dropping her off, getting stuck in afternoon traffic on the Esplanade, getting home, cooking and everything. At the same time, they were moving. They had just sold up and were leaving the Bluff after 50-something years. They'd been married for 60 years. They celebrated that last year. They still had some of the gifts that they received at their wedding in its original packaging. So I was responsible for that, moving everything. I was carrying boxes, furniture, pot plants, pots, pans, you name it, everything, okay? I was carrying physically, mentally, and emotionally, because obviously his health was a huge concern, more than I can handle. So that statement for me was far out the window. My body felt broken. I was clocking between 15 to 18,000 steps a day. My brain felt fried. And emotionally, I felt like I was kind of numb, just like functioning on like auto drive. Like, no, what's it? Autopilot. Just... And the one night I was carrying another box from the car down the passage, and I said, God, I don't know if I can carry this anymore. I wasn't talking about the box. I was talking about the whole situation. And I just felt God say, but I'm carrying you. Oh, and immediately all this weight lifted, and I went inside the house and I immediately went to look for a scripture, because we want to find scripture and verse to back up any promise that we feel that the Lord has laid on our hearts. We want to see it in black and white. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says, I have made you and I will carry you. So then for the following 2 months, I literally felt like I was being carried. And when those situations came and I felt like I was overwhelmed and I just couldn't bear up under what I was having to handle, I would literally just start smiling from the inside and go, but God, you're carrying me. You're carrying the situation and it would result in a smile on my face. So this statement, let's go back to that. God will never give you more than you can handle. It sounds so biblical, even comforting. But friends, you know what? You're not going to find it in the Word. Why? Because God never said that. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack four common phrases and things that, you know, get bandied around, common phrases that we share when we're speaking Christianese to one another, you know, in Christian circles, maybe even that get said at memorials or in hospitals when someone's going through heartache and pain. And we're going to ask one simple question. Did God really say that, or did we? Because, friends, a half-truth is just as dangerous as a lie. It might sound right, it may even feel spiritual. But what happens is it can quietly distort the view that we have of God and how we relate to Him. Case in point, just 2 weeks ago, at a memorial of a beautiful friend, 42 years old, died of a ravaging cancer within a month. It was traumatic. It was devastating. Oh, God took her away. No, God didn't take her away, because if God took her away, that means He gave her the cancer. And it says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life in abundance. So God didn't take her away. That was a complete and utter illegitimate injustice. Two sons she had, and her husband left without a mum and a wife. So that's why we need to know what we're saying, so that we can relate to Him in the correct way and understand, because He is a good God and He is kind and He does not inflict horrible situations or trauma or devastation or illness or sickness. So today we're going to start with a very common yet damaging phrase: God will never give you more than you can handle. If that's true, then our overwhelm might feel like failure, our exhaustion like weakness, and needing help like we just don't have enough faith. Scripture paints a very different picture. The Bible and God never promises that life will not overwhelm us, or says that it will stay within our ability to handle it. What is promised is a God who meets us when we're overwhelmed, with His presence and His strength and His supernatural power, which prevails in the midst of those situations to help us overcome right there while we're feeling overwhelmed. He's not a God who limits the load, but He's a God who provides the strength and supplies it. He's a God who says, "My grace is sufficient for you." We're even going to discover today that when life does give us more than we can handle, we have a God who can handle everything. It's never more than He can handle. We got 3 points today. We're going to start with point number one. God never promised you'd be able to handle everything. Don't respond, but who agrees with this statement, okay? Who agrees that circumstances and life situations generally stay within our physical, mental, and emotional capacity, or within our ability to handle, okay? No. Generally, everything is beyond our capacity. If you do feel like you're handling, I want to say, have kids. Go on. I dare you. Buy a house. Have a job. be a part of society and have some bills to pay. Then we start to feel overwhelmed. Then it's very easy. But friends, if this is all that we're living for, is to exist and wake up and go to work and pay off the bond, and that is a limited life. Now, we've got so much more that we are entitled. We want to see deaf ears open. We want to see the blind eyes open. We want to see tumors dropping off people. I want to say to you, if you're not doing it yet, you have got the same power inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to provoke you to praying for people in the queue. If you're going to see someone with a bandage around their wrist, maybe that's your inroad and your invitation to pray for them. Because you carry a power that can set them free, bring healing, tie up tendons and ligaments and do all sorts of things that some surgery cannot even do. Do you believe that, friends? This is what we're entitled to. Okay, so the Bible, so we sometimes feel so overwhelmed with our situations, but there is so much more for us. So the Bible continually tells us of stories about people that find themselves in situations in which they're totally overwhelmed. We're going to start off with Paul. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. This is Paul speaking. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." Notice Paul doesn't say it was hard, but we managed. It stretched us, but we still had it within our control. No, he said it was far beyond our ability to even endure. This isn't weakness speaking. This is an apostle telling the truth. So if God will never give you more than you can handle were true, then Paul, who wrote scripture, who was persecuted for the church, endured it, planted churches, would never have reached the point of despair. But friends, he did. He reached the point of despair. In the Bible, there are a number of people that were overwhelmed. Moses, he collapsed under the weight of leadership and cries out that the burden is too heavy. Elijah, fresh off of a spiritual victory, plonks himself under a tree and asks God to take his life. David, he writes the Psalms soaked in fear and anxiety and exhaustion and overwhelm and weakness. Even Jesus in the garden says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." So being overwhelmed is not a sign that something's gone wrong. It's often the place, friends, where God is doing his deepest work. Paul then goes on to explain why God allowed this moment in verse 8. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9, he says, "Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might rely not on ourselves, but on God, who does what? Raises the dead." Woo! In situations we can't handle, what it does is it exposes how much we need him. Because friends, as long as we think that we can handle it, we'll try handle it. We'll keep trying to do it in our own strength. But when we reach the end of ourselves, we finally learn to rely on a God whose power and glory far exceeds ours and is far beyond our limited, finite selves. It's an invitation for a deeper dependence on him. Who wants to depend deeper on him? So Paul then culminates this message from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with verse 10. Listen to what he says here. "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Who's ever experienced a situation where you've been delivered? And you understand that, and it has given you so much strength that you know he's going to deliver you again. And he's going to deliver you again. And I don't worry about facing this because he's going to deliver me again. Now bear in mind, these are faith feats that Paul's talking about. We're not talking about being delivered from nonsense. If you've gone out and blown your salary on booze and gambling or something wild and crazy, you're going to have a hard time being delivered from that, because every action has a reaction and there are consequences for our behavior. He's talking about the faith steps that he took, the walking on water, taking ground for the Lord. That's where we're going to get delivered and see the impossible. So that was point number one. God never promised you'd be able to handle everything. Doesn't that give you a relief? You don't have to handle it on your own. Okay, point number two. God promises his strength in the midst of overwhelm. God promises his presence and his power when we reach the limits of our own strength. Paul mentions another deep struggle. He classifies it as a thorn in his flesh, okay? This persistent weakness or hardship that he keeps having to deal with. He pleaded with the Lord 3 times for the Lord to take it away from him. But God then gives him an answer, probably not what he was expecting or maybe even hoping for. This is what God's response is in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul speaking, he says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." See, that's the backdrop. That's what sets the stage, is the weakness. That's the backdrop. That's what has to be there in order for his power to be made perfect. So God doesn't say to him, "Paul, don't worry, I'll take it away." Or, "Paul, you know what? You're stronger than you think." Or, "Paul, you just power on through. You got this, man. You can do it." He doesn't say that to him. He says, "I'll be enough for you." That's what he says. So here we start to find the statement of God will never give you more than you can handle start to just unravel. It just falls apart, because God never actually intended for us to handle life on our own in the first place. That's kind of a little bit of a self-righteous thought, that we could actually even handle it by ourselves. And weakness is not something that he despises. Weakness is the very place where his power shows up. That is the invitation. That's when he sets it. We set the stage of weakness and he comes on in and takes the show. So Paul then responds to this revelation that he's just got from the Lord, this statement, and he says to him, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, well, he doesn't say to him, he then makes this statement. "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Who of you are so tired of being strong all the time? It's exhausting, isn't it? It's just exasperating. So Paul doesn't say that he enjoys the pain, but he's learned where strength comes from. God's power doesn't replace our weakness. It works through it. Means that we don't have to pretend that we're okay. We don't want to be emotional basket cases and just fall apart every time everyone sees us. Okay, but it doesn't mean that we have to be okay. But it means that we don't have to perform for God's strength. We don't have to clean up before coming to him. We're invited when we're weak and we're tired and we're overwhelmed and we're unsure. And we trust in that place That is where His grace and His power meets us. God's promise is not that we'll be strong enough, but His promise is that He will be strong enough for us. Point number three. So He meets us in the midst of overwhelm. Point number three. God uses overwhelm to teach us dependence. See, because if we think that we can handle it all by ourselves, we're going to perpetuate a mentality of independence. And we are going to end up living our lives running around like a chicken with its head cut off, from pillar to post, putting out fires left, right, and center. Or like a toddler, I do it myself. I do it myself. You know they can't do it by themselves. And then once they've knocked it over or it's broken or they can't do it and they're having even more of a tantrum because they can't open what they thought, then you step in and pick it up and sort it out and fix it. That independence. Sometimes that independence can be arrogance. So the quiet dangers of this phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle, it trains us to value independence rather than dependence on Him. If I believe that I'm supposed to manage everything, okay, and handle everything, then needing help will seem like I've failed. And perhaps my weakness makes me then feel very shameful. And prayer becomes a last resort instead of our first response. So Paul's reflection back on his season of despair, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, what we started off with, verse 9 and 10. He reflects back on that season with this profound conclusion. I'll repeat. This happened, that whole trauma and drama, where he just felt like he could just, his life was being taken from him. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. Paul didn't waste his suffering. God used it to retrain Paul, and then Paul then gives it to us as a lesson so that we get a handle and we can endure what feels like it's trying to suck the life out of us. Might be your job, maybe your prodigal that you're so worried about, maybe it's a health issue, someone you love in a hospital, finances, whatever it is. Overwhelm has an incredible way of stripping away the self-sufficiency, because we can be very reliable. Like, we can make things happen. When we see stuff emptying in the cupboards, we can fill it up. We can be there for our kids, for our spouse. We can hit the targets at work. We can do what we got to do. We got to run. We can run on that hamster wheel like nobody's business. We can make it happen. But it is exhausting. And if we're just giving ourselves to that, we're missing out on the more. There's more that God wants us to do for Him. In those moments of self-sufficiency, we don't need God. And what happens is we exist in a state of control. And while we're trying to control everything and spin all those plates, and like I remind you, on those plates, it's spaghetti and mince, super messy. But while you're trying to spin those plates and you've got control of everything, that then leads to burnout, because we cannot control everything. I saw a woman this week, and I've known her family and her situation for years, and there was just something different about her, just in her demeanor. It was just like she was glowing, and there was just like this peace over her. And she said, Dawn, I've just got to the place now where I've just let go. I've stopped trying to control everything. And I could literally, it was like a tangible sensation. She used to be sometimes like verkrampt with her body, like, there was such a peace over her. There was a peace in the release, because she's not trying to control everything and control everybody and here's what you need to do and do this and don't do that and try this and try that. It's exhausting. So we were never meant to carry this life alone. We were meant to depend on God and meant to depend on one another. How overwhelming is it, and such a responsibility, when you look at that medical aid card and you see your kids' names there. Next to it says, dependence. Maybe you feel like you are the one who has to be depended upon within your household of being the spiritual one. Like everyone else is always falling apart and negative and they've got no faith, and you're always having to go to the Lord and bring scriptures back. And like, could you just open your Bible for 5 minutes in 1 month, please? So that you can, you know. But who are we going to depend on? We got to depend on Him. And when others see us depending on Him, they are provoked to depend on Him, because they see the peace over us and the strength that He provides when we are weak. Jesus teaches His disciples to ask for bread daily, not because God doesn't know what their needs are. It wasn't about God. It's because dependence is a part and parcel of discipleship. When we are together, the enemy wants to think that we must isolate. Friends, when we're together, this is where we insulate. This is where we are safe. We are together. We don't want to ignore God's design. And when we do, we burn out. When we don't use the gift of being able to depend on one another and journey together, we burn out, we isolate, and we silently start to carry weights and loads and burdens that we cannot handle, and we crumble underneath them, maybe even get bitter. That is why Scripture continually reminds us and invites us to bring our burdens to God. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Matthew 11 verse 28 says, come to Me all you who are weary and I will give you rest. Friends, when life gives us more than we can handle, God is not standing back disappointed. He is standing near, and He is inviting us to lean on His strength, to receive His grace, and let go of the pressure of trying to be enough on our own, because we will never be enough on our own. Sorry to burst your bubble. And the goal of faith is not independence. It's intimacy, and that's what He invites us into, this intimacy. So when we stop asking God, why can't I handle this, and start asking God, how are You inviting me to depend on You through the situation which I can't handle, then we discover that even in our weakest moments, friends, we're never alone. That is the most freeing truth that we can take away with us today, is that we are never alone, and that God has never asked us to be strong enough for life on our own. He has promised us His presence and His grace and His strength, especially when ours has run out. Do you ever feel expended? Sometimes on my watch at gym, I get this funny like this little buzzing, whatever, and according to my BMI and my whatever heart rate, age, and all of that, it's put it together, and it sometimes says that my heart rate is faster, and it says limits exceeded with this big red heart and an exclamation mark. Don't you sometimes feel like that in life? Like limits exceeded, like I'm beyond it. That's where God is. That is where He is. Don't worry, I don't feel like weird or anything. I'm not hyperventilating in those moments. I still feel like if I did feel weird, I would slow down. Don't worry about it. I feel great. It's all good. My watch is saying one thing. I'm feeling okay. So yeah, we get to then stop repeating a phrase that God has never said and release from that pressure of trying to pretend that we're okay. Oh, yeah, no, you know, God will never give you anything that you can't handle. Yeah, I'm handling. Just quickly let me get behind a closed door so I can just crumble. We don't have to power through in silence or carry these burdens alone. Instead, we are invited to live with honest faith, one that admits weakness so that we can trust God to meet us there. Lay the platform. Don't be embarrassed. Lord, I'm weak. He says, great, now I can be strong. Watch me. Instead of living this life on our own, He partners with us. He takes the load. He shoulders it for us. So today, when we pray, we're not going to be saying, God, help me handle this. I want to encourage you, if you're in your prayer time, saying, Lord, please just help me handle this. No, no, no. How about saying, God, I can't, but you can. And that prayer, friends, doesn't lead us to defeat. It leads us to victory and liberty and freedom, because it reminds us of the price that was paid for us on the cross. He did on the cross that which we could never do for ourselves. He overcame death. The Lamb has overcome. We sang it in worship. He has overcome. Let's stop trying to be overcomers without Him. Let's overcome with Him in those places of overwhelm. So I want to invite you today to join me in standing. I want to pray for us, but I want to ask you, you remember what we did at the beginning of the meeting where you opened your hands? You hadn't even heard faith before that, and you'd already been ready to present them to God. So now even more so, those things that you were keeping in your back pockets and planning on just like keeping on the back burner, no, I won't give that to you, God. Now it's time. Why don't you just open your hands and say, Lord, I release everything. It's an act of faith, friends. Picture those things that you cannot handle on your own. Father, we want to confess and repent today for where we have tried to carry these burdens on our own, where we have tried to fix the situation. You have never meant for us to carry these things alone, Lord God. Father, we release them to you now. Lord, teach us to release the need to be strong and to trust in your grace, Lord God. We repent when we have been so self-sufficient. No wonder we were so exhausted. We know that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Help us leave here today relying on you and not relying on ourselves. Let us be dependent on you in the midst of our overwhelm, that you would be the one who comes in and overcomes, because God, you are always enough. We can't, but you can. So Father, I just pray right now for every single situation that is placed on these hands right now. You take them. We pray for addictions to be broken in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and minister. We invite you, ministering angels, come and move in this place. Remove things. Financial debt, poverty that might have been handed on from generations and generations. Mindsets, Lord God, stinking thinking. Relational issues, Father. The prodigal son or daughter that we so want to see come into your kingdom. We release those things. Our relationships, Lord God, our jobs, our city, our government, the governments of the nations of the world, Lord, we release them to you. We can't fix it, but God, you can. And we trust in you, and that fills us with strength. So we honor you today. We give you the glory. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work that you've done this morning. By faith, we believe that there is peace in the release. You've removed things from people's lives. Even now, thank you, Jesus. We walk out of here with burdens off of our shoulders, and we will not pick them up again, Father. And if we do, it's only to bring them to the foot of the cross, because that's where our strength comes from. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.